Excuse me while I just move this so I don't trip over it. Most of us have probably heard of the TV character Luther. Most of us have probably heard of Martin Luther King. We may not all have heard of Martin Luther, but Alice and I rewatched this film recently with Joseph Fiennes, Luther. It's a very helpful retelling of the ministry of Martin Luther, which you can get on Amazon, I think, if you are interested. Recommend it. This year, the 31st of October, marked 500 years since Martin Luther nailed 95 complaints against the church to a church door in a small town at Wittenberg in Germany. In that day, there was only one church in Europe, the Roman Catholic Church, as it's now called, and it dominated all of life. But as a result of his action and what followed, over the next 20 years or so, something called the Reformation happened, spread across much of Western Europe. Protestant churches were formed, like the Church of England, and later on, Baptist churches and free churches. Whole countries like England became Protestant. And to mark the 500th anniversary here at St. Mark's, we've had a series of talks on the difference the Reformation made. So far, we've thought about the Bible, justification, grace, and Holy Communion. And if you've missed any of the talks, you can listen to them on our website. I do encourage you to do that. I think the reference should be there, so anlebychurches.org.uk, and look for talks. Today we're asking a slightly different question in our series. We're stopping to ask, was the Reformation a good thing? Or to put another way, what was the legacy of the Reformation? There's lots about legacy in the news these days, isn't there? You probably heard that they're beginning to talk about, or they have been talking for a while, about the legacy of the City of Culture as it draws to a close. I got a letter from Holtruck Theatre the other day. Help Holtruck Theatre build a cultural legacy for the city. And yes, you've guessed it was asking for money. Well, what was the legacy of the Reformation? What did it leave behind? Was it good or bad? If you've seen some of the programmes on TV over the last few weeks, you may be wondering about that. Often the focus is on religious intolerance or on people being put to death for their beliefs. And we have to admit some terrible things were done in the name of religion. Although it's worth bearing in mind that because religion and politics were so closely connected back then, the underlying issue was politics. Slightly later in history, Guy Fawkes, you may have seen the series about him recently. He wasn't executed for his faith. He was executed because of the threat he posed to the king and to Parliament. But yes, bad things were done. But what good was done? What positive impact did the Reformation have? Well, we're going to think about the heart of the Reformation, and then we're going to think about the legacy of the Reformation. So first, the heart of the Reformation, a return to the true Christ revealed in the Bible. A return to the true Christ revealed in the Bible. Jill read the end of Acts 2 to us, didn't she, a moment ago? The book of Acts follows on from Luke's Gospel. It was written by the same person. Jesus died on Good Friday. He was raised to life on Easter Sunday. He ascended to heaven. And now in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes down, we call Pentecost, to enable the followers of Jesus to carry on his work in the world. And after the Spirit comes down, the Apostle Peter, who only days before had denied Jesus three times, stands up and explains what's going on, and the focus of what he says is Jesus Christ. So verse 36, that should come up on the screen, he says this, "Let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." It's all about Jesus, he says. And in the same way, the Reformation was about discovering how Jesus, as revealed in the Bible, is central to God's work in the world. For 1,000 years, this truth had been hidden as the Pope and church councils set the rules of how God was to be known and worshipped. Jesus Christ had been sidelined. But because of the Renaissance, the New Testament became available in the original Greek, and people like Martin Luther translated it into their own languages, German, English, and so on. For the first time, people could read the Bible for themselves. They could read of the Christ, who Peter says is both Lord and Messiah, God's King. The Christ who earlier in the passage in his speech, verse 22, he says was accredited to God by you, to you by miracles, wonders, and signs that God did among you. He was shown to be God. And verse 23, the Christ who was put to death by nailing to a cross, but God raised him from the dead because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. The Christ who, verse 38 in our reading, bottom of page, first column, page 1094, brings forgiveness of sins, of every human being's self-centered rebellion against God. People could get to know the true Christ revealed in the Bible, and that changed everything. So let's move on to the legacy of the Reformation. Two things. First of all, lives changed by the Christ of the Bible. Lives changed. Countless lives have been changed by people coming to know and trust in the Christ of the Bible. You may know something of Martin Luther himself. He was a man overwhelmed by shame and by guilt, aware of how far short he fell of his own standards, let alone of God's. And yet he discovered what Peter talks about in verse 38, the forgiveness of sins. In fact, he discovered that because of his faith, God looked at him as if he was perfect, as if he was Jesus. He read this in Romans. Through faith, people are justified, declared right before God freely by his grace. And as a result, Martin Luther was a changed man. He was right with God. He was a friend of God. He knew where he was going to be with God in heaven. Now, I had a similar experience 20 years ago. I've said this to many of you before. I was aware of my own sinfulness. I'd gone my own way, and I was stuck. But I was introduced to the Jesus of the Bible, who brings forgiveness to those who look to him. And I can still remember standing on a bridge in Oxford and a sense of this massive weight being lifted off my shoulders. I was forgiven. The burden had gone. I had a new identity, a new purpose, a new future. And I know Mike and Katie have similar stories. They found the Jesus of the Bible to be compelling. I asked them to give me a few words to share with you about their own experience. And this is what they said, and it was so good that I'm reading it out pretty much word for word. We've discovered that God is a relational God. He wants us to know him personally and have a real father-child relationship with him through Jesus. We're learning how he loves his children. And reading the Bible, his word every day, has brought us closer to him and told us his promises are firm and they give us a firm place to stand. We can rely on him as he does not break his promises. And one day Jesus will return to judge us and reign, and that will be a good day for those trusting in him. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God for how Jesus has changed Mike and Katie's lives. And we pray will change Daniel's life as they bring him up to know and to love him. And if I might add that Mike and Katie and I have also discovered the truth of the final verses. So verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. The early church was a community of brothers and sisters, sharing life together, sharing possessions. And why wouldn't you when you have the same loving Heavenly Father, the same wonderful Master and friend, Jesus Christ, when you're part of the same fellowship through God's mercy and love? Of course you want to love those around you. So the first legacy of the Reformation, lives changed by the Christ of the Bible. And it may be that in a group this size this afternoon, there's someone who feels a burden, a weight, who feels weighed down by their own expectations, by their shame and their guilt, the memory of something we did or that was done to us that never quite leaves us, the habit we're stuck in that we can't break out of. Or maybe we feel alone, isolated. We need a heavenly Father. We need a community of brothers and sisters with a common bond. And if that's you today, can I urge you to discover Jesus Christ? Get to know him in the Bible. Keep joining us on a Sunday. You're welcome to come every Sunday. We meet here at 4 o'clock or at 10 o'clock at St. Peter's. Or take a Luke's Gospel away. Read it. Get to know Jesus as he really is. Or just chat to someone. Chat to Mike and Katie. Chat to me or someone you trust. We'd love to talk to you more about that. Second legacy, a culture changed by the Christ of the Bible. We've seen already how Jesus creates community. And as that community develops, so it can shape a whole culture. And I want us to see the Reformation shaped our culture, British culture, Western culture, for the better. As communities of believers read the Bible, the apostles' teaching of verse 42, it impacted every area of life. So it impacted art. It impacted music. It created modern education. It created modern democracy. And it created modern science. And I want to think about that for a couple of minutes, because in the 21st century, that sounds crazy, doesn't it? We often hear, don't we, science contradicts Christianity. Maybe you've picked up that idea over the years. Well, it'll interest you to know that Christianity created modern science. So modern science arose in the 17th century, about 100 years after the Reformation, which gave lots of time for the teaching of the Bible to sink in. And one of the key events was the founding of the Royal Society in 1650, a prestigious organization that's still around today. And of the 10 men who founded the Royal Society, seven were Puritans who took the Bible very seriously. It's been found that 60% of those who created modern science were devout Christians. The rest believed in God, with just a few exceptions. Just to give one example, Robert Boyle, there he is. Wish I could have hair like that. Best known for his work on gases, and particularly Boyle's Law. I won't test you on what Boyle's Law is, but you can maybe chat about that over coffee afterwards. He was a devout Christian. Isaac Newton, Robert Hooke, other famous examples. Couldn't it just be coincidence that modern science arose at this time? Well, no, because to be able to come up with modern science, they needed to look at the world in a particular way. And we take it for granted, don't we, that we look at the world in a particular way today. But for centuries, nobody had. Think of it like this. Science is based on the empirical method. You observe patterns in the world, and you draw theories based on those patterns. But for centuries, no one had expected patterns in the natural world. The Greeks were too theoretical, too sort of head in the clouds, thinking about philosophy and theory. Other religions and philosophers didn't see an order or any need to discover it. But the Bible taught people three things in particular that helped bring about modern science. So here are those three things briefly. Firstly, the world is ordered. It works in a particular way. There are patterns we should expect to see. So Psalm 104, it's worth reading Psalm 104 later, full of the kinds of patterns, the way the world works. Genesis 1, if you know Genesis 1, speaks of the order of God's world. Second, God made us in his image to understand and rule over the world. So again, in Genesis chapter 1, we read this. God created mankind in his own image. Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and rule over it. Because we're made in God's image and because God thinks and reasons, we can think and reason. And we can rule over his world. And this was an important thing for them to see, because for centuries they couldn't see the point of understanding the world better. The world was a place to escape from into a religious huddle. But the Bible told them there was a purpose to rule the world in God's image. And then God made us to love and serve others. As Jesus famously said, love the Lord your God, love your neighbor as yourself. There'd been lots of technology developed over the years, but nobody had seen why they should bother to use that technology to help others until the Bible. Take away one of those three things and you lose the incentive for science. So the legacy of the Reformation, modern science, art, music, democracy, education, I could go on. A culture changed by the Christ of the Bible. Well, what have we seen? We've seen that the heart of the Reformation was a return to the true Christ revealed in the Bible. We've seen the legacy of the Reformation, lives changed by the Christ of the Bible, culture changed for the better by the Christ of the Bible. As we close, how are we going to respond? Well, how does Peter say we should respond? Verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That word repent means turn around, stop going our own way, start going Jesus' way. Our natural inclination is to go our own way, isn't it? But as we've said, in the end, that leads to shame and guilt and misery. God's ways are good. We need to choose to go Jesus' way, the way of the King, to trust him for forgiveness as we do that. Today, Mike and Katie are expressing that they have chosen that way as they've brought Daniel for baptism. They've said, I repent of my sins, I turn to Christ, I submit to Christ. We pray Daniel himself will do that in the years to come. Maybe you want to do that today. If you do, well, have a word with me, have a word with someone near you. We'd love to pray with you. Let's pray now. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for changing lives. We thank you for changing cultures. And we pray that you would change us for our good and for your glory. Amen.